Any idea why we lag behind other professional services in these types of contributions?
Because CPAs think dirty word, right? I mean, they don't fully understand it. So we have to educate our members about why PACs are essential to our success.
All right, we're back at it, folks. Episode number 164 of Future Proof. Bill Sheridan here. How are you? Everyone okay? Did you knock down that New Year's hangover yet? More seriously, successfully dodging the COVID? I hope the answer to that last one is yes, by the way, taking all the necessary precautions, right? It's a little rough out there in the virus land these days. Seriously, take care of yourselves, please. Yourself, your loved ones, those closest to you, right? Safety, wellness, those are your most important jobs. So get her done, okay? Okay, let's start with this. As always, this week's show is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. All right. So guess what? It's legislative season, boys and girls. That's right. At least here in Maryland, it is. Maryland's one of those part-time states legislatively, right? Some states are in session year-round, but here in the great state of Maryland, our legislative season runs from mid-January to mid-April each year, right smack dab in the middle of tax season, so not very convenient for you advocacy-minded CPAs out there. But hey, our job is to make it as easy as possible for CPAs to get involved in the process because it's more important than ever, right? You ever take a look at what's happening legislatively these days? It ain't pretty, people. It just is not. There's more legislation coming at us these days than ever before, and more of it has a direct impact on the accounting and finance profession than ever. And someone's got to pay attention to it, for the love of God, right? For the good of the profession. That's where state CPA societies come into play. That's where all associations come into play, protecting our professions and our members. That's what it's all about. And this is our season, folks. So why are we talking about this stuff on a podcast called Future Proof? Well, because increasing legislation and regulation is one of those future-focused hard trends, right? It's a future fact. One of the things that we know is going to have continuous and growing impact on our profession going forward. We know it's going to happen. Our only play is to figure out what the opportunities are in all of this. So in Maryland right now, all eyes are on Annapolis. And so we're going to spend some time this week taking a look at what might be on the horizon legislatively in Maryland. I'm sure similar stories are playing out wherever you might be as well. So take a listen and then take a look at the legislative environment in your state, because here's the thing. This is something that a Maryland state senator actually told me not too long ago. Brian Feldman, a longstanding member of Maryland's General Assembly and a CPA too, by the way, but he said, we all hear about the craziness and the divisiveness in Washington. That's what gets all the headlines, but really very little that happens or maybe to the point doesn't happen in DC has any really significant impact on our daily lives. I mean, according to Senator Feldman, the truly impactful legislation, all right, the stuff that has real impact on our day-to-day lives happens at the state and local levels. And that's where we need to spend our time and our focus and you know, our attention these days. And that's where we're focused this week. My guest, you know him, you love him. He's been here a few times before. He is Tom Hood, former CEO of the Maryland Association of CPAs, current Executive Vice President of Business Engagement and Growth at the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants. He's also chair of the MACPA's Legislative Executive Committee. And so we're going to take a closer look at what might happen in Annapolis this year during legislative session. And there's a lot on the table, folks. Let's start with the reorganization that you're going to actually hear Tom talk about in this podcast. That reorganization within Maryland's General Assembly has had significant impact on many of the key House and Senate committees whose activity the MACPA closely monitors. So here we go, okay? In the House Ways and Means Committee, which considers matters related to state and local taxation, Delegate Ann Kaiser has stepped down as chair. That's a role she's held since 2017, replacing her as Delegate Vanessa Atterbury from Howard County. And then Delegate Atterbury, she previously served on the House Judiciary Committee as vice chair, which considers matters related to civil and criminal law. So Delegate David Moon from Montgomery County has succeeded her there. Let's see, what else? Nancy Kopp, who served as Maryland Treasurer for nearly 20 years. She's retired. Delegate Derek Davis from Prince George's County has been elected by the General Assembly as the state's new treasurer. In becoming treasurer, Delegate Davis relinquished his seat as chair of the House Economic Matters Committee, which considers matters related to business occupations and professional and business regulation. Replacing him is Delegate C.T. Wilson from Charles County. Delegate Kathleen Dumai vacated her position as vice chair of the House Economic Matters Committee when she was appointed by Governor Larry Hogan as the Montgomery County Circuit Court Judge. Replacing her is the committee's new vice chair, Delegate Brian Crosby from St. Mary's County. The list goes on and on. Three committee chairs, okay? Delegate Maggie McIntosh from House Appropriations, Delegate Shane Pendergrass from House Health and Government Operations, and Senator Dolores Kelly from Senate Finance. They will all retire at the end of the session. Maryland's Deputy Comptroller, Sharon Bernardi, she's been named Executive Director of the Federation of Tax Administrators. So she's succeeded by Andrew Schauffele. And then finally, since 2022 is an election year, on top of all that, by the way, Maryland's powerful Board of Public Works will receive an entire makeover, right? Maryland's governor, comptroller, and treasurer will all change hands this year. First time that all three seats have changed in the same year in more than a century. It's like dominoes, folks, one after the other, going down, down, down. And that means, what does it all mean, right? Simply put, it means a lot of work for the MACPA's advocacy volunteers, right? The association puts a lot of time and effort into building fruitful relationships with the leaders at the state level, and with these departing leaders. We spent a lot of time getting to know them well and helping them know the issues that are important to us. And we're starting fresh with new leadership in these areas. And that takes time and effort, and CPAs who know these leaders and can rebuild those relationships from the ground up. And that work will be ongoing. So more urgent, though, is the MACPA's 2022 legislative agenda. You're going to hear more about that here in just a second, but it includes really four key issues, some of which I'm sure y'all are intimately familiar with in your own states, right? We're going to be opposing sales tax on professional services, including those provided by CPAs. We're going to be opposing efforts to replace Maryland's contributory negligence standard with a a comparative fault rule. Now, comparative fault is a legal maneuver that would result in increased costs of doing business and decreased productivity, really. We're going to be supporting proposed amendments to the sales tax on digital download and streaming services. And that's as recommended by the Maryland Chamber of Commerce, a working group there that includes members of the MACPA's own state tax committee. The Maryland Chamber supports legislation that increases clarity and helps with compliance while reducing unintended taxation and maintaining legislative intent. And so does the MACPA, by the way. And then finally, we're going to be supporting proper funding for the Maryland Comptroller's Office. That's in an effort to help tax professionals better do their jobs and better serve their clients. So it's going to be a busy season. And there are a few things that we can anticipate, to borrow a phrase from the Daniel Burris Futurist Handbook. First of all, it's an election year, so don't expect to see any major tax legislation, for example, out of the General Assembly. Next year might be a different story, but candidates this year aren't going to want to get too wild. So secondly, the 2022 elections means that we're likely to see plenty of political posturing this year and the introduction of a number of bills that will attract a whole lot of attention from voters, but those bills likely won't go anywhere legislatively, right? A whole lot of sizzle and not much steak. I think we can expect that this year. And finally, expect to see more political division, I think, in Maryland when you add redistricting, which is a huge topic in Maryland, with legislators retiring or moving to new positions. You're likely to see kind of a net loss, right? Fewer middle-of-the-road legislators who are willing to work on both sides of the aisle. So that division we're seeing on the national level maybe starting to filter down to the state levels as well. And, anyway, it's going to be nothing short of interesting, to say the least. And here with me this week to help us make sense of all of this is my guest, Tom Hood. Let's get right to it, shall we? Here's my conversation on 2022 legislation with the esteemed Tom Hood. Tom, thanks for being here. So last year's legislative session was, I guess, for the most part, completely virtual. Virtual testimony, virtual meetings, no in-person in Annapolis at all. So this year we're going to be back to normal, right?
I'm not so sure about that, Bill. I mean, we're seeing the spike up from Omicron right now, and you're seeing a tendency to a bunch of states are beginning to tighten back up again because of how fast it's spreading. So I think Maryland hasn't started any of those major moves yet, but we are seeing spikes up in hospitalizations, which is what the governor watches when we get back into that shutdown mode. So I would say, I think it's more like 50-50. At best, it could be still pretty restrictive.
Yeah, I mean that's what the question was kind of facetious, but I think what I'm hearing is that it's going to be, at least to kick things off, a virtual session. Certainly, our CPA day is going to be completely virtual, and the more things change, the more things stay the same, I guess. So what kind of challenges does that virtual environment present from an advocacy point of view?
It's a huge barrier. I mean, advocacy is about relationships and all the relationships we have with legislators, the ability to talk to them both formally and informally. It then moves you into a more formal, controlled Zoom way of communicating and talking. And it even restricts our legislative consultants who are effectively lobbyists, Nick Manis and his team, have a more difficult job. So it is challenging. And it's even more challenging when we're facing a lot of reorganization. There's been a lot of shuffling even into this year. Next year is an election year, and we're expecting record turnover again, like we had a few years back. So that all creates a very, very different dynamic for us to protect the interest of our CPAs in Maryland.
Yeah. And let's talk about that for a couple of seconds. You mentioned that word relationships, and it's an election year. And again, we've seen a lot of reshuffling, folks moving from, you know, committee seat to committee seat and dropping off and jumping on. And I mean, what does that environment look like right now? And what should that mean for CPAs? What should we be paying attention to in that light?
So it's funny. We just had our legislative executive committee meeting in December, and new chairman, by the way, or maybe he's a co-chair, Harold Moan, and he has been terrific. And we've got a group of about 8 or 9 who've joined us in that, and they're all working with us on this committee. So that group is helping us really extend this influence and get more involved. We expanded that committee. It used to be just a kind of informal kitchen cabinet, and we expanded that this year so that we could get even more involved. So that's going to help us as we move forward in this notion. But clearly, the committee chairs who change, we have several committees that are essential to what we watch. So we watch the tax committees on each side of the aisle, if you will, or excuse me, each side of the House. So we've got the House Ways and Means and the Senate Budget and Tax. Those committees are critical. And when those chairs change, the dynamics of those committees change, which means it makes it a lot harder to make sure they know who we are and they know what our issues are. Then we have the judiciary committees where tort reform and liability is heard. And so that's the Senate Judiciary and the House Judicial Services Committee. And then the third committee, that set of committees that we typically would work with would get to, Senate, the Finance Committee and the, actually that goes through Ways and Means also. So those critical committees are ones we watch, and we have to know the chairman and the vice chairman, because that's when bills go through. Those are obviously key influential people. And then you have to know the critical people that are on those committees. So this is all in flux right now. You know, they'll appoint committee chairs again right before session, and we'll see who they are. But we're already seeing some changes, and that means we have to get to know whoever the new people are when we get back down into that session.
Which kind of makes our job doubly tough, right? We're advocating for certain positions, but then we're also trying to build relationships with folks that we may or may not even know. So,
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So what does the MACPA's legislative agenda kind of look like this year? What are we kind of focusing on?
So, Bill, we have an evergreen agenda that pretty much goes every year. One is liability. We call it tort reform. We don't want to see extra liability provisions that might impact CPA firms or businesses. So this movement of getting rid of contributory negligence and putting in comparative fault. We don't think that will happen, but that's one of our evergreens. Obviously, sales tax on services, which we defeated a couple years back soundly, and we don't expect that this year. The other pieces, though, that are, I think, pretty critical is we do have some pieces left over from last year, amendments to fix the new sales tax on digital products language. Mm-hmm. That was a big thing that caught all of us off guard. It was a override of Governor Hogan's veto, and then it got implemented immediately. And so since we've been trying to fix it and tweak it with the comptroller's help and everything else. And the other one, quite frankly, is one that we've done before, but we think it's probably more important. We need to support the comptroller's office in their budget request for funding. They're losing a lot of talent, and we might say, well, it'd be good that the comptroller doesn't have a whole lot of resources. But the fact is, if we don't have good, solid people in there, tax preparers, CPA community can't get answers and things resolved quickly. And that's a big detriment to businesses. So we're going to actually work with the comptroller to support that notion as we go. We do expect, you know, there might be some overhang of the COVID packages that have been done. So we might have to weigh in on those. And we'll be watching all the other key areas for things that might impact CPAs and CPA firms.
Got it. So I'm also hearing we're not really expecting any kind of major tax legislation because it's an election year? Is that what you're hearing?
That's correct. That's typical. And doesn't mean it won't happen, but it certainly is something that we're stipulating. So this year, we don't have any bills that we're putting in. And we're basically going to be playing defense most of the year, we hope.
Got it. How does an election year kind of factor in to the type of legislation that we're likely to see?
Well, I think election year, sometimes you'll see a bunch of legislators wanting to put bills in to get attention. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes it might not even be something that they are really, really pushing, but they want to put it in to send a signal back to, you know, to their constituents back home that they're actively working on something. So we can see some unexpected twists that come from that notion, right? Trying to get notoriety.
So stuff that they want to get in to kind of increase their reach and exposure, but maybe doesn't have as great a chance of actually passing, that type of thing.
Exactly. That's exactly what can happen during an election year. Now, the other part I would say, Bill, that we've learned is that since COVID, all bets are off. I mean, we're in a very, very new world with a whole lot of things going on at the federal level and at the state level. And so this is where we say we have to prepare for the unexpected, because it's quite likely. And the issue is, in a virtual world, when that stuff flies in, we don't have the chance to get down to Annapolis and see people. To really get in front of them from that standpoint. And so it just gives us an extra piece of risk that we have to manage.
Yeah, there you go. Let's talk a little bit about the PAC, the Political Action Committee. I think, and this goes back to our conversation a little bit earlier about relationships, right? And I kind of get this notion that PAC is a dirty word to a lot of people, but a Political Action Committee actually is crucial for the work that we do to protect the profession, right? So, I mean, tell me a little bit about that.
So PAC is a dirty word to a lot of people, and especially to CPAs who feel like, why would we want to do that? So our CPA, we call it our CPA Committee for Political Action, CPA-CPA. It's been around for quite a while, and it's the only legal way we can give money to a legislator, often to show that we support them when they support us, as well as get in the door with a new relationship. So when we go to a fundraiser, usually it'll be, you know, one of our legislative executive committee, or we find CPAs in the district, and we go down often with our legislative consultants, Nick Manis and team, and introduce ourselves to that speaker. And there are often other legislators there. So those fundraisers are very effective ways of saying, here we are as CPAs, here are the issues we care about, and we'd like to get to know you. And then oftentimes they use us as a resource. When they're getting ready to think about a tax legislation, they'll talk to us and say, what's the implications of this? And what can we do from a compliance standpoint? So it helps us help our profession from that standpoint. But yeah, it's the way we form a relationship. And I'll give you an example. First CPA Day, I think it's been probably almost 12 years ago, Brian Feldman was a brand new delegate in the House. So once he got elected, we could contribute only to existing incumbents. So we can't to place bets on people that are starting to run but have never been in Annapolis.
Gotcha.
He got in. We got some CPAs down from his district, Lisa Sines, Al DeLeon. We had a bunch out in the Montgomery County area, created relationships, went to his fundraisers. He then got on the Economic Matters Committee, which is the one of the committees that hears all of our legislative things about licensing. And he was critical when we were getting mobility and acting. You know, the notion of getting the license would be comparable to all other states, that all those provisions, he actually helped us sponsor. Now, that was all because we went to one fundraiser and brought a couple CPAs from the district and got to know him. Mm-hmm. He's now the vice chair of Senate Finance, and the Senate Finance Committee chair is retiring this year, unexpectedly, apparently. And that means he could be in line to be the chair of the Senate Finance Committee. By the way, that would make him like the third most powerful person in Annapolis. because Senate Finance is one of the top committees. So there's an example of, you know, those relationships cross time and space, if you will, and you never know where they're going to end up. So we have to build those relationships. We need more CPAs to both contribute to the PAC. It's severely low for the last couple of years. We are behind the Chamber of Commerce. We're behind the lawyers and other groups in terms of getting money raised so that we can do this. And in an election year, we're going to need that money more than ever.
Any idea why we lag behind other professional services in these types of contributions?
Because CPAs think PAC is a dirty word, right? I mean, they don't fully understand it. So we have to educate our members about why PACs are essential to our success. I mean, we've had one of the most successful legislative programs for advocacy for our profession in the entire profession nationally, mm-hmm. more than most, a lot of other states. So to do that, we need money and we need a lot of grassroots. We've often used grassroots probably more, but we need money too. And that it's, as we get into this election year, it's going to be more critical than ever.
And we talk about folks like Brian Feldman, as you said, the third most power, or could be the third most powerful person in Annapolis. He's a CPA, right? He's not the enemy. CPA. He's not like, he's not this politician that is like evil. He's one of us, right?
He's a member.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you know, we have two other CPAs in the legislature, Arthur Ellis from Southern Maryland. He's a senator and he happens to be on the committee that hears all the CPA legislation. And then we've got Delegate William Weivel up in Frederick County, who's on a House Government Operations Committee, I think, or was. But they're all really friends. They've been very active. And so, yeah, we support them. But we also, you know, the other thing is we aren't partisan. We do in Maryland. It's not like the federal level. We don't have that division. There's a lot of cross aisle, you know, Republican and Democrats working together. So we support a lot of them equally or even more because we have a majority of Democrats in office in the state of Maryland. So lots of good friends who really, really help us all the time.
Yeah, but I was talking to Brian Feldman a couple of years ago, and he made that exact point. He said, you know, when people talk about politics and legislation, they think of Washington and they think of the divide that's going on there and all the vitriol and how nasty things are getting. But he said, you know, in terms of legislation that's passed that actually impacts you and your life and your family and your business, most of it happens at the state and local level. It's not happening in DC. And that's why it's so important to pay attention to what's going on at this type of level, because this is where the real impactful stuff comes.
Yeah.
Pretty powerful statement there. A quick plug here, Tom, for we talked about it a little bit earlier, CPA Day in Annapolis, January 20th. This is our day to be there and to talk with our legislators about the issues that impact the profession. It's going to be virtual again, online. Why do Maryland CPAs need to be there?
So we've had some really, really success with CPA Days, and lots of our members have been continuously coming. Virtually last year, we hit a new record. We had 600 on the online session. What was significant about that is we have legislative leaders that we're going to have coming in to talk to our members. And for instance, Senate President Bill Ferguson. So having leaders at that level learn about us and our issues and seeing that many CPAs, it's a huge impact. So I've always said I wanted 300 CPAs on the steps of Annapolis down there every CPA day. We've gotten close to that, but 600 on a Zoom call, we had a big graphic with all their faces on there. Bill, that sent a very, very big message to all the legislators. So we're going to have, I think, like the head of the Ways and Means or Budget and Tax, we're going to have some of the significant committee chairs or legislative leaders, in addition to Senate President Bill Ferguson, Speaker Adrian Jones, who was on there last year with us, can't make it. But we're going to have a pretty heavy dose of really influential leaders. So if we could have 1,000 CPAs on there, it would send a huge message to Annapolis that we care and we're watching what's going on and we can mobilize. If they know that we can get that many people together, it's going to make them pay attention to what we've had. It makes our voice louder.
Boy, 1,000 would be amazing. We got close to 600 last year, and man, that would be something else.
Let's do it. I want every member out there to sign up for CPA Day. It's only a couple hours, and it's well worth it. You'll know what's going on in Annapolis, and let's do this.
That sounds great. Tom, listen, thanks so much for your time, for your insights. As always, a pleasure. Thanks for being here.
Good seeing you, Bill. Thank you.
All right, great stuff there from Tom Hood, former CEO of the Maryland Association of CPAs, current Executive Vice President of Business Engagement and Growth at the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants. He's also chair of the MACPA's Legislative Executive Committee. You can learn more about what's going on legislatively in the profession by visiting macpa.org/advocacy. And don't forget, this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge along with a strategic skill set. Here we're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPA. Start mastering these future-ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning-framework. And that is it, gang. Have a great, great week. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care.